Oh, hello there, Philadelphia. Didn't see you come in. I'm Vince Quinn here, reading a book by the fireside. John Barchard at home. Hi, John.
Literally trying to start a fire in my fake woods here, I think. So we're on the same page. I like that. Hi, everybody. Hi, Bird Brains.
How you doing, pal? You excited? All this, so much fun news, John. This has been like, we got together this morning. I mean, we always get together on a Tuesday usually to do all this, but holy shit, dude, there's a lot of stuff going on.
There's a lot of stuff, and there's a lot of stuff that the Eagles try to sneak past us on Wednesday, which, yes, of course, I'm going to talk about Shane Steichen today. Yes, of course, but speaking of a lot of news, yeah, not such a great injury for CJ, huh?
Dude, yeah. Lacerated kidney sounds awful. I mean, just awful. It's a major organ, you know? Like, I know you have two of them, but still, it's a major organ. It's not what, like, people have been put in bathtubs and had one removed forcibly for money on the black market, right? Like, if that's not the definition of a valuable organ, I don't know what it is, John.
Now you know what Vince kind of, like, studies at night, or I guess for pleasure reads about. So there you go. Stolen.
No, now you know
look
how
out
I pay
for
the
your
bills.
Kidney, CJ. So, Vince Quinn is at your house. Watch your kidney, sir.
That's right.
I just want to point that out. Yeah. and just to give you a love, like, I've never had a kidney injury. And hopefully we don't have any, but some people were in our mentions. Go ahead and follow us at Bell and the Bird on the Twitter.com or Instagram, wherever, whatever you feel. One person said he got it at the age of 12 and didn't notice any pain after, you know, it was diagnosed. And another person said it's like passing a billion kidney stones or whatever it is. So
oh,
I can't imagine that it's feeling good, especially to get hit by a football helmet and cracked ribs on top of that too. Right. It's not just like. The ribs,
yeah, there's got to be damage.
The kidney, and unfortunately, that's going to take a while. So,
right,
what are you thinking?
It's not like it's not a magic bullet thing where it's like around the ribs and into the kidney, and bam, like it just, you know. So, yeah, like he's got to have cracked ribs to go with that. It just absolutely sucks. I mean, I've heard with cracked ribs how awful that is, just the breathing and everything that goes into that. So, yeah, kidney problems, rib problems, it all sucks. And we figured this was coming because you see the Instagram post. And it's like, hey, well, I'm going to get back at it, which is like, well, shit, he's not back in a week if he's posting that.
Yep.
So, yeah, everybody was putting, like, prayer hands and all the different players were applying to it. So you knew it was bad. Now it is bad. But it could be good, John. It could be good. Another situation where an injury leads to something good here. Because if you missed it, folks, Johnny Airport himself, John Clark, had Malcolm Jenkins on his show. And Malcolm Jenkins is like, Howie, hi, Howie, I'm here, I can play, I'm retired, but I'm not retired, call me up, I'd love to come back. So, yeah, two Super Bowls with Malcolm Jenkins, John, you in?
First of all, yes, and if Howie Roseman's in, I will be shocked to the gills. You remember how that ended? It ended not great. Like, Malcolm was talking shit on the way out, so, you know, maybe it was just some Zach Ertz type of talking shit, you know, like, it's the end of an era, and everybody kind of knows that, and, like, bygones are bygones, and now we need a third or fourth safety. So from that, if Howie does this, I would kiss his forehead because that would be great. That'd be fantastic. I would love the guy that, you know, you kicked out Carson Wentz for to come back maybe to help out some like a Reed Blankenship where, you know, he was already talking up Marcus Epps before the offseason. So, yes. And the one thing where I go like, well, maybe I'm wrong is – I mean, you did try to bring in Jaquiski Tartt and freaking, you know, Anthony Harris to a one-year deal for third or fourth safeties. Kayvon did okay. I'm not saying he didn't do okay, but I'd kind of like to have Malcolm here. He did play with CJ too, right, with the Saints. So I'm sure they have the chemistry. I'd be on board with it.
Yeah, it makes all the sense in the world. He's Malcolm fucking Jenkins, man. The guy's good. It's just – and for this team, it's the same things with 2017, right? It's the chemistry, the leadership – all that kind of stuff that you're going to get. Most of the team is familiar with this guy, likes this guy, respects this guy. So to bring him back, it makes so much sense. And you touched on it for me, because the big point for me with all of this is if Carson Wentz is here, this is not a conversation. This is not possible. This is not happening. They don't like each other. Like, there was a divide. They had to pick one guy. They went with the quarterback, which is the right move at the time. If you're going to pick a quarterback or an aging safety, you pick the quarterback. But holy shit, the quarterback, what a dead horse that turned out to be. Check the Colts. Bam. Now, so with all that stuff happening, it's like, okay, well, now Wentz is gone. You're winning a ton of games. So you're the front runner in the NFC. Mm-hmm. And this is what the rich teams do, right? They get richer. You can get Ndamukong Suh. Because you've got this kind of positioning, you know. So if they wanted OBJ, which all the reporting seems to be that they don't, And it makes sense now that Quez is blowing up. I'd rather have OBJ, but I get it a little bit more now. So, like, yeah, okay, you're not going to make that move. But Malcolm Jenkins wants to be here because he could win here. He's looking again and going, shit, I can win another Super Bowl in Philadelphia and play with all those guys again. Are you kidding me? It's such an easy move. But none of this happens with Carson Wentz still on this team.
And I'm only laughing when Vince Quinn says the rich get richer, because that was a phrase I used in sarcasm for the Dallas Cowboys all the time, because they always said, oh, look at who we signed. And I'm like, yeah, well, you still – then they missed the playoffs with that player. Speaking of which, too, and I what you said is dead on. Just because it's been circulating for a couple of days and we haven't touched on it. Robert Quinn's not existent. What's the deal? I figured it was because they weren't up enough. And for three games in a row, maybe they just weren't up enough. But, like, you would figure at some point, it was going through my head during that game, like, when Jordan Love comes out, why wouldn't you throw a fast pass rusher out there at least for a snap or two? Goosey, like, he has been non-existent since the trade. This is worse than Golden Tate, if you can remember that too. You know, it's just like, this is bad. Those discussions have been going on our Discord. Feel free to jump in there too, because you guys are putting out a ton of great ideas, by the way. Turbo Mike doing a great job as a beat reporter as always, bellandthebirdman.com. But what is your take on Robert Quinn? I think Howie made a mistake.
Yeah, what the hell happened? Like, what? I guess my main question is, what has he done, or what did he do in Chicago before they traded for him? Because, like, look, I'm not watching a ton of Bears games. For what? For what reason in my life, with time being a precious element in all of our lives, why am I watching the Chicago Bears outside of Justin Fields highlights? So, I mean, what did they watch it? Were they just like, well, it's the Bears and they suck, it'll be better here? I mean, he had 18 sacks last year as a Bear, right? So let's just, like, I don't know. I don't know how a guy falls off a cliff like this. It's really disturbing. Now, you've only traded a fourth-round pick to get him, and you have depth in other places. Like, that's the nice thing here. He's not the savior. He was a luxury depth piece, so you can survive this. Golden Tate was a little more essential because the offense sucked that year.
Yeah.
I mean, they really needed him to perform, but same thing. Like, Golden Tate was a good player for a very long time, multiple thousand-yard seasons. Did it in Detroit. Did it in Seattle. You bring him in here, you think he's going to be fine, and it just right off the cliff. So, like, I don't know quite why he sucks. I don't know if it's a Gannon thing, which it shouldn't be.
I don't think it's a Gannon thing, right? This is not a Gannon thing. If they needed the help at defensive tackle, and they probably don't need it as much as pass rusher, I'll give them that. But between, like, Hassan's doing really well, Josh Sweat's been doing pretty good, Brandon Graham, you keep hyping up, and rightfully so. I think that's a part of it. I just think he's not good enough to replace those guys, and that's what scares me. Then Ndamukong Suh and now Lindell Joseph have come right in back-to-back games off the street, have had no problem with terminology or what they're supposed to do. And maybe it is a Gannon thing because he likes his DNs to drop into coverage like once in a blue moon.
And Robert Quinn has done that.
Yeah, and he has. So maybe there's a little bit more of a learning curve, and I'll grant him that. It's possible that they're just saving him up for the playoffs, and, like, why get another guy dinged up when everybody's relatively healthy and doing okay? But to me, that's bad news Bears. Like, someone's not picking up something. And speaking of which, it's crazy. Lindell Joseph has now – I thought he was just going to slowly, you know, descend into, like, a 30% of the snaps – equal amount of snaps between Hargrave and Cox this last game.
Good.
All 30-30-30.
Good. That's what it should be. That's the whole point of all of this, right? A lot of these guys are older. You should rotate them. They'll be fresher. That's the whole point of the philosophy. Yep. That's why Jim Schwartz did all of that, right? It was the idea of, like, let's keep these guys fresh and you can keep sending speed, and we want these guys to be really aggressive and rushing the passer, so rotating them is best. And then it was like, yeah, let's play the guy that's 31 and we've had questions about him being in shape for a couple of years. Let's play him for 70 snaps and just see what the fuck happens. Like, come on, man. So,
well, there was no one else. To be fair, there was no one else there. That's it. You know, you lose two. That's what we talked about. Plus, on Thursday, we'll deep dive into Jordan Davis because, ooh, baby, we got a big one coming up against the Titans and all that fun stuff. But yeah.
But you could distribute it more with Hargrave and all that. They could have done it in that week. But anyway,
right.
I mean, you got all this talent. So, like, yeah, the fact that Robert Quinn sucks. It's clearly a problem. Is it a catastrophe? No. And who knows? There's no reason to say he's completely cooked and it's totally over and he won't do anything this year. So Maybe it is an adjustment period. Maybe he's got a nagging injury we don't know about. That happens a lot. I mean, look, Aaron Rodgers wasn't on the injury report for like the whole season. It's like, oh, by the way, I've had a broken thumb this whole time and I probably need surgery and I just haven't told anybody about it. So like all that kind of stuff's hidden too. So maybe he's dealing with something like that we don't know about. I don't know. But the fact that he comes in, there was all this expectation. He's not getting many snaps even to begin with. So he probably doesn't look good in practice either. It's a pretty bad sign. And this was probably a mistake. But you know what? Look, even if he sucks ass the rest of the year, and he is a Ryan Kerrigan, which Ryan Kerrigan had like two tackles all season last year. I mean, he was phenomenally bad. If he does something,
your boy, by the way, your boy Ryan Kerrigan was bad last year.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about it, but look, you have to make moves like this. Even if it doesn't work out, you don't know that in the moment. That's the whole reason you make the trade. Otherwise, you like. There's no point in any of this. If you knew the future, it's all dumb. I hate that stuff. So it's like, oh, they shouldn't have made it. Yeah, well, no fucking shit they shouldn't have made it because it didn't work. But, like, you don't know. You have to take a chance on a guy that was a first-round pick, played well his entire career. He's done it in a bunch of different cities, different coaches. It doesn't matter. He's always been a good player. And you decided to add a good player to your team for a fair price. It's like, these moves work sometimes, and sometimes they don't. Michael Bennett was a fifth-round pick, wasn't he?
Yep.
I mean, holy shit, what a great move he was. If they didn't think he was an asshole and didn't want him around anymore. But, like, that guy, he was playing in the middle. He was playing on the edge, and he was really good. Just in terms of production, he was really good. So, people, like, you can second-guess the move if you want, but sometimes you swing and you miss, and I'm glad they're swinging rather than going out looking, you know?
Well,
so
I think this is just Howie with this. You know, both six shooters, and he's going, bah, 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 bah. I'm hitting everything. I'm hitting everything. We need this. Bah, 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 bah. Ooh, that's a blank. Bah, bah, bah. You know, like, we just kind of pass by it because there's so many other good things that have happened here, too. And so much so, I just, you know, knocked over a plastic pineapple, which is very exciting around this house. But, like, more on that later in the future. But the, I think that's a big part of it. And I have no optimism that it's going to work out. I mean, look at this. We're bitching about, like, what? Where's Derek Barnett and his production? Like, you need to find something better than zero, and, like, we're still at zero. So it's just like, well,
Taylor's
shit.
Favorite guy, Derek Barnett, RIP.
I know Taylor hasn't forgotten about him at all. And this is my next question. And thanks to our friends always at liquiddeath.com/bell. Taylor saying in the chat, bring Derek Barnett back as soon as possible. Couldn't agree more, buddy. Liquiddeath.com/bell to locate all the delicious 16.9-ounce cans that you could be drinking, murdering your thirst. My local 7-Eleven, which I'm going to walk to right after this show and just, you know, take a nice little chilly walk with my daughter because she's already on board, if you can believe that. Yes, it is that cool that I put Liquid Death in her, you know, baby cup. People get freaked out by it. And I'm just telling everybody it's the purest water that I could feed her. So we like taking trips down to 7-Eleven. Hope you do too. By the way, 7-Eleven making a strong comeback. I just keep preaching it. I know we're hung up on Wawa. Wawa does not have any Liquid Death in it, which is why I don't go there. I am starting to tremble into sheets because me, Taylor, and Vince are like mapping out, you know, next year's where we go and we're doing some fun union stuff. I need to know where Liquid Death is at all times. So should you. LiquidDeath.com/bell. And man, oh man, I keep harping on this coaching shit, Vince Quinn. I keep harping on it. And I wonder if it's just, you know, I started to slowly float because of our Discord and because of some really good tweets. I'm starting to flow like John's overreacting, especially after the postgame show. Everybody's thinking I'm a wet rag here. And I agree. Part of that was being a wet rag. I think it's opponent. Yep. I'm very excited to get to the Tennessee Titans. And then what comes across in the last 2 days, these sons of bitches think that I'm not going to notice this shit and just kind of, oh, nope, coaching staff is just fine. So first and foremost, I want to reemphasize this. The Philadelphia Eagles, Tim McManus, my boy, we got to get him on to talk about this too, because maybe I'm just a little too crazy about this. But they hire Marcus Brady, the former offensive coordinator of the Colts. Then you don't think too much of it. You go, okay. And there's a really, really, really absurd quote about he's just here to help out Jonathan Gannon, like self-scout his defense and see what he sees. Okay. One might be able to buy that. Then, thanks to our good friends on the Twitter.com, again, follow us over there at Bell and the Bird. Today from NJ.com, there is the first rumor for Shane Steichen and a coaching opportunity. And do you know where it is, Vince Quinn? Do you know where it could be?
Yeah, John, it's the powerhouse that everybody vies for, UNLV. I mean, sure.
So a 10-1 coach on an offensive coordinator position. Normally, what is happening right now? Who the Shane Steichen, baby, when he gets into the coaching cycle in the NFL like crazy, there's going to be people talking left and right. Right now, there are so many coaching positions that are wide open. And the first major rumor that comes out is UNLV after Matt Rhule has been hired by Nebraska, a major program, after everything has just been sitting down in there. Taylor Cordatus, excellent point. Colorado hasn't even mentioned his name. They've mentioned Deion Sanders before then too. And the most sniff that Shane Steichen can get after Marcus Brady gets hired on a Wednesday is UNLV, and it just happens to come out almost simultaneously with this story. Something stinks, and guess what? It's still Shane Steichen. I can feel it because this is how you shadow ban Howie. You're doing it. He is shadow banning this man, and we're going to have a new fancy offensive coordinator soon. Your thoughts, Vince Quinn?
Well, yeah, first off, this is why the football world in a lot of ways is better than the corporate world. Like, the corporate world can be fucking brutal because it's like, oh, Dave got promoted to manager. Dave sucks at manager, but there's like, he's just been promoted up, and like, all you can do, unless he's so fireable, is just promote them somewhere else and move them somewhere else, but they're still in the company. Like, if you're a football team, you could just go, I wonder if we can get this guy the head coaching job somewhere else. And, you know, I wonder if he could be the offensive coordinator in another place. It's a promotion. It makes us look good, but they're gone, and we're actually happier about that. We can't fire him, or we don't want to fire him because of the politics. Like, it is messy from the Eagles' side to fire a guy that's a 10-1 offensive coordinator. Like, if this is the number one seed in the NFC and they win, I don't know, 15 games and they go 15-2, like I said before the season, if they end up doing that
without Russell Wilson.
Yeah, well, hey, you win some, you lose some. Mr. Hassan Reddick is going to suck here, and I can't see why they made that move.
Jordan Davis wasn't here, neither was AJ. So in context, I was still right. Anyway, continue.
All right, and Pete Carroll buried the bodies in a way that I wasn't aware of, and I'm still right then. So anyway. But yeah, like if you're looking at this, you can't fire Steichen. It just looks bad. Unless this team absolutely blows the way they did in Tampa in the playoffs, like last year, if they had something like that, maybe you can argue it. But otherwise,
why
it's
did
really
it blow? Who is in charge of it?
What do you mean? Was Russell Wilson in charge of that too?
I thought you were talking about the playoff game from Tampa last year when they're sticking 10 in the box and you're like, yeah, we're just going to run.
Oh, well, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That's what I mean. Steichen. Too.
So if Steichen has something like that again, if the offense does that again and Shane's like, what the fuck, man, this wasn't what we were supposed to do, then yeah, I mean, you could fire him then, but it's still a weird look, especially when he's young and whatever. So to be able to get him to UNLV, apparently, I was reading up on this when the report came out, he played quarterback there. So, yeah. So that's part of it.
He had to go back to his alma mater, or he wants to go to his alma mater as a head coach.
Or maybe he's
Bullshit.
Trying to scare up a market. Because if nobody else is interested in him as a head coach, and this is his way of building buzz, is going, hey, UNLV, can you put me in the conversation and give me an interview? Because I'm trying to boost my stock and get somewhere else. Maybe that's what he's trying to do. But again, it's a guy that in a league where Jeff Saturday becomes a head fucking coach overnight.
Great clock management last night, by the way.
Yeah,
fantastic
awful.
Job.
Awful. So he's when you've got guys like that, you have, but everybody else normally, I mean, Kevin O'Connell, Mike McDaniel this year, those are the guys. Like, as everything moves in that direction, for him to not get buzz and have to fight to get that attention on a 10-1 team, if that's what he's doing, again, a really bad look. A really bad look.
I just think this drives home. I'm taking the tinfoil off now, man. We've been pretty good about the tinfoils coming into like real on theories and then like getting pretty close. So I think I'm right on this. I think they hate Shane, and that's why you remember when I said that Arizona game, that he just looked tired and it didn't really work out okay offensively. Something happened. Like, I think it is. Way, and you've even said this. What's been the storyline this entire week? Stoutland University. It was Stoutland University last year, too. So, like, what is Shane actually bringing to the wrinkle and fold? And this is why I got to commend the Philadelphia Eagles, and especially Howie Roseman, again, after just, you know, criticizing that short little blank with Robert Quinn there. By the way, I still got to get you that jersey. I can't believe it hasn't come in yet. Do you know what's crazy and why you should never bet against the Philadelphia Eagles in a second-year head coach? Why? They've never missed. They've never fucking missed since Jeffrey Lurie has been here. Every time, year one to year two has always been better by the record. They make the playoffs the next year. I remember Jeffrey Lurie saying this when he fired Chip Kelly. It's because it's the only time. Well, I mean, like, it's not actually why, but he went on to say, you know, the win-loss thing is the most obvious, you know, resume for any coach. And if they don't feel like you can bounce back into that second year, they're out. And what did they learn from Doug Peterson? That, like, if you go that route, and again, I'm just going to bring up the veteran presence that he had, including Frank Reich and all those other guys. That's a strong unit. That's not happening here. You know, they have left this offense, in my opinion, they've left this offensive coordinator position to be the anti-Doug from what has gone on. Like, Nick is not a guy that is going to pound the table in terms of this is my philosophy, this is the coaches I need to go and do it. Marcus Brady might change all that. He might have won a little power in there, but I highly doubt it. These guys have controlled on the field a lot more than I think they've given credit for over since 2013, and that whole thing happened. And yeah, sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't, but man, they really have been able to control whoever's coming in here, kind of just let them do their thing, control the entire roster while doing so. And now I think they're setting up into the next phase. I still have not forgotten, and shout out to the Discord, and I forget who it is, whoever the is married to Joe Brady, the sister-in-law or whatever it is, tell them that there is a keg waiting for him still. This to me is a sign that they are open to having anybody come in there. His name is still out there. That's an impressive resume in what he's done. It's clear that Matt Rhule is an idiot and couldn't handle like what was going on here. So I would like to see Joe Brady in here along with Marcus. Let's bring all the Bradys. Let's get Marcus. Let's get Joe. Let's get some inventive guys that can get around Jalen Hurts, AJ, and, you know, Dallas and be like, we can make these guys go a lot better if you give us an opportunity. And I think that's what this does. This might just be a little simple Jim Bob Cooter. We need fresh eyes on this, but I highly doubt it. And I'm just excited that we're going to be right here and Shane won't be here next year. No matter what, Shane will not be in the Philadelphia Eagles building. That's my ultimate prediction.
Yeah, I'm good with that. Look, on some level, he feels like, and you mentioned this too with Stoutland, it feels like a useless appendage. You know, it's just like you don't need him. If his whole thing is the run game and everything that goes into it, then you have Stoutland and he's the run game coordinator and the passing offense needs work. So you need a guy to develop that passing offense. Now, maybe that's on Sirianni. I mean, look, he's a wide receivers coach. That was his calling card. He played wide receiver. So if all those things are supposed to be, hey, you got to figure out the passing game, then Sirianni damn well better figure out the passing game. Or if he can't do it, he's got to hire somebody to be the OC that can, because the running game is fine. And you get away with that because of Stoutland anyway, because all these guys are freak athletes, man. I mean, we have Kelsey. He's a 35-year-old center that pulls and blocks down the field. Like, to have a guy that moves like that and dominates like that is crazy. You get all these big tackles that can run around the same way. I mean, they'll go across the formation. Like, you'll see Jordan Mailata like swing around. You're like, holy shit, he's doing what? So that mobility is unbelievable, and it makes it easier to scheme up all these exotic things in the run game that way. But the passing game is not there with all the talent. We talk about it all the time. I think that's the obvious thing that people want to see, whether it's people that don't understand why Jalen's good or people that don't feel great about this team as a Super Bowl contender or whatever it is. You want to see the passing game get better, and Shane Steichen ain't helping you do that right now.
Well, and I know why. I know one person who doesn't think Jalen Hurts is going to be good, and that's Vince Quinn. We're going to get into that in 1 second, because I got to tell you, I have heard some things from that man over the couple of days. It's just unbelievable. But just want to remind you, if you're seeing, he is pretty. So we allow him to get away with stuff like this. And one of the reasons why he's pretty, because our good friend Nick over at Forbidden Canvas gave us this sweet ass, I'd rather be watching the birds, corduroy hats, which I have not taken off since we gotten them. It is bumped off Lord Brunson's Hurts season hat, which is just as phenomenal. And I'm not shitting you, but it's been hanging up ever since we got these because they're so comfortable, so beautiful. And these shirts too. I can't believe the support we have gotten for this entire program. And you guys are leaving such great messages on our text line and our Discord on Twitter. It's really keeping us going. In this holiday season, we want to appreciate that too. Bell and the Birdmen shirts also available, bellandthebirdmen.com. One of the best ways you can help the pod. And Vince Quinn, what the fuck, man? I brought up on the last postgame show that Jeff McClain, your boy, is mentioning that they're going to get around a price tag for $50 million with Jalen Hurts this offseason, because that's what the market's going to probably bubble up to. I've said my piece on this, and you said something to me that it's been racking my brain for 2 days. It scares the hell out of me. After you just have been explaining and describing Jalen Hurts as literally the thing that moves the offense, the success, the failure, it's pretty much stacked on him, and he's 10-1. What makes you scared about $50 million a year?
Well, it's what the teams look like when he's making $50 million a year. It's a different looking team. It just is. Like, that's the problem that happens. And this is the thing, right? Rookie quarterback contracts are the most valuable thing. You want to win in those windows, regardless of who it is. When all these guys get paid, and again, like, the only exception to the rule is Tom Brady, who does not count because his contracts were not in line with everybody else. But it is so much harder for a guy that's making top-of-the-line money to win the Super Bowl because your roster just isn't as good. And for Jalen to play as well as he is right now, he's got the ideal conditions everywhere. Like, what does it look like when this team's got $50 million tied up into Jalen Hurts? Is the offensive line as good? Are they investing there? Can you have A.J. Brown and at the peak with whatever that top wide receiver contract that he'll actually deserve and should have gotten paid now? He got screwed monetarily for the deal that he got compared to everybody else in the market. Well,
where it's going
to
go, yeah.
So, yeah, like, he's going to want a new deal in a year or two. Okay, so you're going to have to pay him all that money. What does Devontae Smith look like? Dallas Goedert is getting paid top money as a tight end. Like, you can't pay everybody. You're not going to have a defense that averages over 2 turnovers a game right now, which is ungodly. I mean, it's just all the circumstances for this team right now, and that's why I always talk about talent, because the whole roster top to bottom is so stacked everywhere. And that benefits Jalen Hurts. Now, he's played amazing, and he deserves to be in the MVP conversation right now. But when he's got to carry a heavier workload, he doesn't always have the pockets. He doesn't always have elite targets to throw to. And we said this many times, best set of weapons I've ever seen in my life in this town. Best secondary I've ever seen in my life in this town. You can argue this offensive line against any of the great offensive lines that we've had over the past 20 years. So it's just stacked everywhere, and it's a different equation with Jalen at 50.
Is he $10 million more valuable than Dak Prescott on a year-to-year basis today, right now?
I don't know. Is he?
Are you willing to take a gamble for it?
He's 25% more valuable than Dak Prescott.
Fuck yes, he is, and he's outplaying his ass with those weapons, by the way, and he's got pretty good weapons, too.
And a shitty line.
A shitty line. I guess, but why is that a knock against Jalen Hurts? This team is always going to invest in the offensive line. Always. They already did.
But then they have
Kelsey's replacement ready to go, who played against the Packers for a little bit. You know, like, we're starting to see that. The Saints, and just on this point alone, and then I'm going to let you continue if you have more, but, like, you're picking sixth right now, dude. That's either more money for you to recoup or go buy a player if you want to, or, like, you can replace the, and by the way, because AJ Brown is already paid, because Dallas Goedert is already paid, and hit the brakes on Devontae Smith being paid. Honestly, I think he's a great player, but, like, let's slow down and let him earn that first. Like, he's nowhere near earning a big time second year contract. The market might say that when he gets there anyway, but, like, you don't need to pay him right away. And you're going to have to figure that crap out anyway. This team's young, man. It's not old. Like, Jordan Mailata's here. Cam Jurgens is here. I know everybody's yelling at Dickerson from last week, but he's here. Lane Johnson is your next biggest, toughest replacement, and you've got 2 years to figure that out. You know, like, $50 million now is going to look like Jimmy G's 27 from the past couple of years, and he's way better than Jimmy G. He's way better than any type of potential that is going to be there. And he's not done as a passer yet. He's not done progressively getting better. So, like, from that point, I don't understand. It's always going to be hard when you pay the quarterback, and you might as well try and do it and get ahead of it before it gets out of control.
Well, it's going to get worse for sure. And look, the thing that makes it easier, and you mentioned this in the postgame show, if the salary cap goes up as much as we think it will, then if those projections are right, then this is more of a moot point. It is. But if it's going on the same track it's generally been, then it's a lot of money, and I don't know. What is it going to look like when he doesn't have supreme talent everywhere? He doesn't have a defense that's turning over the ball all the time. It's just a different equation. He's going to have to win more foot races. Can he do that? That's one of the things that we worry about. Can he pass 45 times a game and put the team on his back with his arm? I want to see it.
So
still.
Would you, I just being honest, would you sure. be in place of waiting to see what happens again this offseason then? Are you saying, you know what, maybe there is a deal that we can negotiate for Bryce Young because we're sitting there at six, and granted, like, there's no way you're probably going to get that from Detroit or any of those top teams that are, like, dying to have that. You know, C.J. Stroud could come around in the process, but he hasn't looked overly impressive. But I'm just saying, if there's an opportunity then this offseason, Lamar Jackson being like the rainbow that could possibly happen, are you making a move then? Or you wait, like, are you still in, I'm not sure about Jalen Hurts camp, and I'm not doing anything until it's like actually 100% proven in front of him?
No, it's not that I'm not sure about Jalen Hurts. It's to the degree that I'm sure about Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts is a starting quarterback in the league. When we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, and McClain had the first report, it was like $42 million or something. I was good with that because it's the Dak Prescott contract, and I think that's where he is. Like, you look at other guys, Mahomes is a way better passer. It's not close. Josh Allen is a much better passer, and I would lean with those guys, and it's easier to get away with this stuff because they're great passers. So until we see him as a dominant passer, it's not easy for me to go, yes, let's pay him like those guys and what their salary is right now, even if Lamar's going to get more and it's going to be guaranteed. Like, that's a dangerous play too. Because
yeah.
What's Lamar's problem? Like, he hasn't had a wide receiver this whole time. He just hasn't had one. His best receiver's been Mark Andrews.
And I think that's we discussed it at some point, but that is really the new winning formula for now, if anybody's looking for it. And yes, if he sneezed on Sean McVay, I guess that's still around too. But good head coach, dominating wide receiver, good to great quarterback, or better. You know, like, that's basically how you go win one, and that's okay. Like, the fact that A.J. Brown and Jalen Hurts will be here theoretically for a very – I don't think they're moving anywhere, man. I think those guys are lifers in Philadelphia. So if you can keep rotating who's the best next target, like, Dallas is going to be here for – there's a while to figure it out, man. That's all I'm saying. And you should see Jalen evolve as a passer over those next 2 years anyway. I mean, if this was the big leap from 2 to 3 – it's progressively going to get a little better from 3 to 4 to 5 to 6 to whatever until he turns into Russell Wilson at 33. And then you might have, then you might be right, you know? So,
well, that'll worry me, but the coaching needs to come along with him, and they need to get better and give him better opportunities to grow as a passer. So they need to figure it out too. And it's part of belief in them and their ability to continue to grow this guy. And then, yeah, like, I think what we need to accept is if Jalen Hurts is going to get paid $50 million a year, this defense is not going to be nearly as good going forward. So enjoy it while you got it. I mean, you're investing
okay
in foot races. I know. I'm like, it's okay. It's a way to build, right? It's just there's different ways to build. You save money on the quarterback. You can build a more complete team. That's what San Francisco did. They were paying Jimmy G like $27 million a year. That was not bad at all compared to the market. You could have a really good team, and they got to the Super Bowl. They were 5 minutes away from winning.
And they got killed for it too, by the way. They got absolutely crushed once they made that deal. The second round pick, the signing right away, everybody says, what a fucking joke that was. And then Kirk Cousins gets guaranteed money, and that's a fucking joke.
Well, Kirk Cousins getting guaranteed money and then doing it again, I think, is a bigger joke that they doubled down on it and did it again with Cousins. But for Jimmy G, that deal made a lot of sense to me, and they got the value. I mean, NFC Championship games, Super Bowls, you got your money's worth with Jimmy G. You can't complain with what he did. Everybody would take those results, and it's because of the strategy, right? So
Yeah. Now
it's a different strategy, and it's just Jalen Hurts has proven that when he's got the talent around him and it's a well-built team, he can be a true winner, and he's one of the best quarterbacks on one of the best teams. He's done that now. So now it's a whole different game. Like, this, it goes from easy mode to hard mode now. That's where it's going to be once Jalen gets paid, and he's got to show me that he's that guy.
To me, it's less of a Jalen problem, and that's more or less in the good graces outside of maybe the rookie class, which I do really want to get into at some point because I thought it was a great, great point by you, and we're like, rookie class is kind of okay right now. These guys are stacked, man. Again, endless picks still heading into next year. Cap room beyond belief. And I am having such baby brain right now. I can't remember the kid from Georgia that I'm absolutely love.
Oh, that D tackle.
Yeah. But like,
yeah, I don't know. I'll figure it out when it's drafted.
If N'Kobe Dean can get to where you want him to be, and I still don't know where that is, honestly, you're fixing the defense through, or you're making those powerhouse moves in the draft now. And that's what they've done on offense to basically like, we're good. And they're using a mix of vets and guys because they know they can go win a Super Bowl. You know, you're right. Enjoy this while it lasts because this is the most optimum time for Jalen, this team, and everyone else to go win a Super Bowl, because that's been the formula forever. Jalen Carter, thank you very much, Taylor Credatus. He's not the best fucking producer in Philadelphia for nothing. If you have that nucleus starting to build itself while this is still young, I mean, like all these guys, A.J. Brown's young, Quez is young, Devontae's young, everybody's young. So for the first time in my lifetime, I feel confident about the Philadelphia Eagles using all of this shit properly. And they have, like, what can we really say anymore if they develop this kid to where it was, to where it is now? And I'll just reiterate again, we never thought Jalen Hurts was going to go and achieve above his second round pick value and status. Well, Jesus Christ, the Philadelphia Eagles have valued him at $50 million. I think you and I had discussed at one point, what would it say? What would a team absolutely have to offer right now? 3 ones as a floor. And it's probably way beyond that at this point now. Last thing for me. Do you take stock into anything that Tom Brady says publicly? Because he was pretty genuinely on his podcast giving some praise to Jalen Hurts and his ability upstairs. That's all.
Okay. Well, yeah, in that case, because I've seen it. And
Taylor
actually
says he loves crypto. So how much can you really take? Fair point.
Yeah, yes. FTX fraud Tom Brady talking about Jalen Hurts. Yeah, so yeah, you worry about that. No, but I mean, a lot of his stuff is bullshit. But yeah, if he's talking about Jalen upstairs, he's right. I mean, we've just seen it everywhere. So for Brady it's just another confirmation of something we already know. But yeah. Yeah, it's like, and I hear you too. I mean, look, I believe in Howie Roseman as much as anybody in the city. I've always been a big Howie guy, and his ability to, yes, what do you mean? What does that look?
I'm just side smirking for a second. Continue. We'll get to it.
I've been a big Howie guy for a long time, and I look at what he's done, and can he transition this team with a quarterback making that kind of money? I think so. It's just going to look radically different, and it is harder to win a Super Bowl once you get off that contract of the rookie deal. So, especially for a second rounder, I mean, holy shit. This is one of the biggest advantages you can have in history, a guy playing this well as a second rounder. Because, I mean, what he makes a first-round pick, usually a quarterback, you're going to get drafted in the top half of the first round. By the time you're in your fifth year of the deal, you're making what? I mean, $6 million, $8 million. What's Jalen Hurts making, like $1 million? I mean, seriously. Yeah. He can't be making shit. Like, he's a second rounder. It's just the nature of the game. So you got to pay him. But, man, it's
more
just
than that is what I meant to say. Not less than that. It'd be absurd if he was making. Oh, let me look it up right now, actually.
Yeah, I'm curious. I'd be curious to see how much Jalen's making on his deal. But you're going to then be getting, because you have to think about that, right? You're getting $50 million, and you need to replace that then across the roster. You're shedding that. So, like, okay, Darius Slay is getting older as much as he's been great. James Bradbury's not coming back next year. We know that. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson has led the league in interceptions right now. He's been absolute dynamite. You got to re-sign that guy. So you're going to sign him to a top-of-the-market safety contract. That's what he's worth right now. So, okay, now you're going to add that money into the equation. Like, there's a lot of things to factor, and you don't have as much room for error, and that's the thing that you worry about. Like, Wentz, they ate a lot of dead money, but there'd still be $11 million on top of every dead dollar that they had for Carson Wentz, and then you go and build the rest of the team. So it's a lot of money.
Yeah, and I'm having Spotrex not working it out. But, I mean, we're right. It was a four-year deal for, man, like $8 million total. So I'm seeing base salaries of 1.6, 1.7. So, man, yeah.
Yeah, it's a major increase in how much money he's making per year, and it affects the rest of the roster. You're not going to have the same depth that you used to. He's going to have to overcome a lot more challenges. He's earned the right to be here. I will say that he's earned the right to be here, but there's still a reason to be nervous about it.
What I will say is the Eagles will not make the same mistake twice. They've already been through this, and they've already been through some heavy quarterback drama. He's kind of like the clean slate guy for everybody. They know what Vince Quinn is saying for sure. It doesn't mean they can't fuck it up and Vince can be right. I just feel uber confident that they're not going to be like, okay, this is what got us last time. Let's not do that. And they're kind of preemptively doing that, I think, already. And they're just ahead in terms of draft and everything else here. So Vince Quinn, any other final things before we ship on out of here and get ready for the Titans on Thursday?
No, sign Malcolm. Let's all celebrate Super Bowl number 2 incoming.
There it is. We'll see you guys. Join us in the Discord as always. BellandTheBirdman.com, LiquidDeath.com/Bell, PhillySportsTrips.com/Bell. If you want to join us in New York or in Chicago on the tailgates. And of course, as always, Taylor Credatus, who does a superb job, cameraless. That is Vince Quinn looking beautiful. John Barchard here at the house, hanging out in, I guess, Carson Woods or Carson Wentz's backyard or something like that. I don't know where I'm at, but appreciate you listening and watching. We'll see you on Thursday. Bye-bye.